Thank you, Brother Bill. Brother David is going to take our session this morning. Thank you, David. Also, the first 45-minute session is a discourse, and then we'll have a break, and then we'll have another hour session afterward. And during that hour session, each of you from the floor will have the opportunity of asking questions to Brother David about the subject of his discourse. And any of those who might be visiting online will have the same opportunity. So if you should find pads and paper on your table. So if you happen to think of a question, use that opportunity to jot that down so you don't forget it. Okay, thank you, Brother David.
Dear brethren, it's a pleasure to be with you. Good morning. And we bring the love and greetings of the San Diego brethren who voted expressly to have their greetings of love sent to you. I think all of you know the experiences of the last few days that we have been involved in, and we thank you for your expressions of sympathy and condolence. The emotion which motivates us primarily is joy. Joy at the completion of Brother Gilbert's course and of his entrance in, we believe, to the glories beyond. The Lord, of course, is the one that gives the rewards and that makes the judgment. But sometimes we have opinions about what the Lord's judgment may be, and I do. And so, therefore, it has been a sense of joy for me to reflect upon the things that he now enjoys and appreciates, and the noble ones of the past that he has been introduced to, and all of the joys that we all look forward to if we are faithful unto death. Brother Gilbert lived his last days as he lived his life, devoted with service. And I think he completed his course with joy, and we're thankful. We may have some reflections and testimony meeting a little bit further. We're going to speak this morning on harvest parallels. Now, harvest parallels are something that you will find in not just one, but two of the volumes. You'll find them in Volume 2 and in Volume 3. Matter of fact, you'll find a condensed chart of the harvest parallels in Volume 2, page 219. And you will find exactly the same chart in Volume 3 on page 132. And what you will find in each of those charts is a series of five dates in parallel, way back, with five dates in contemporary history. I'll modify that just a little bit. And I'm going to inscribe those dates on the board for you, although I think you could remember them, but I'll put them up here for your reference. We start with, we're going to start with the key date of 29 AD. And I think you know that 29 AD was the date at which our Lord was baptized at Jordan and therefore entered into the work of Messiah at the first advent. And though he was physically there before this, he was not the Messiah until 29, and therefore we date the first advent at 29 AD. And the parallel date, 1845 years later, would be 1874. And then the next parallel date on that chart would be the date 33 AD, when Jesus died on the cross and was raised, of course, just shortly thereafter on the third day. And that would be a parallel of the date 1878. Now, just 1 week, 5 days before he died, of course, he cast Israel off from favor. And in 1878, Israel was restored to favor, evidently, because we see that that was the year in which they began to recolonize, resettle their homeland. As a matter of fact, that's the year when, I understand, David Ben-Gurion reflected back later and said, well, that's where I would begin the restoration of Israel in 1878. So there's something visible that we can see about that date. Now, the next date would be 36 AD, that parallels to 1881. Now, 36, of course, was the date at which it was understood that the 70th week closed. And because the 70th week opened here, this was the middle of the week and that was the close of the week, if those two dates had a parallel, presumably this date would have a parallel as well. And that would figure mathematically at 1881, and we'll discuss that date in a few moments. And the last date on the chart in the volumes is the date 70 AD. And 70 AD was the date at which Jerusalem was overrun by the Romans, the temple was destroyed, and that was the end, in some respects, of that period of probation for Israel. And that would parallel the date 1915, and you will find that as the last date on the parallel chart. Now, you may have expected that date to be 1914, but you'll see in both charts, in Volume 2 and 3, it's really 1915. We'll discuss that also in just a moment. But then if we back up, there's one other parallel date you will see that begins that chart, and that is the date in the B.C. era, 1813 B.C., that has its parallel fulfillment in the year 33 A.D., 1845 years later. Now, all of these parallel dates are separated by 1845 years. Now, that's not because some scripture tells us that there must be 1845 years separating these. You know, there are a lot of scriptures that give us prophetic dates, prophetic spans, rather, excuse me, prophetic periods of time, 1260 years, 1290, 1335, 2300 days, 2520 years, 6000 years. Those are all periods of time that are given to us in the scriptures, and then we attach dates to them. With the parallels, it's working the reverse. We have a series of dates that we think are significant, and we observe that between them is 1845 years. So you won't find that number directly in Scripture. It's a number which we deduce from the dates that have been involved. And primarily, I would suggest that the date 29 for the First Advent in 1874, independently from the prophecies of Daniel, by the 1335 days established to be 1874, give us a fix for the First Advent and the Second Advent. And therefore, we can compute the distance between the two. And that gives us 1845 years, and then we expand from there. Now, we'd like to discuss three issues with respect to the parallels this morning. We're going to find out where these parallels came from. What's the history of these parallels? How were they originated? When were they originated? What's the basis and foundation for them? Secondly, we would like to examine how these parallels were modified slightly in reprint 5950 at the end of Brother Russell's ministry, because he realized that 1915 did not see the climax and the consummation of all the things that he anticipated. And naturally, as every Bible student should, who was thinking about their faith and how they believe their faith, why they believe it, and whether the evidences show the fruition of their beliefs in connection with their anticipation. All Bible students should be of that frame of mind. So Brother Russell was, and therefore he modified this slightly in the last reprint article. We'll deal with that. And then we're going to look at how these may be expanded and completed in a much grander way, even than this list. Where did they come from? Where did these dates come from? Now, it's been a source of interest to me to know where the prophetic body of testimony that we have in Volume 2 and Volume 3 as our heritage originated from. And those who have done a little bit of investigation and reading and know something about the history of the Harvest Movement know that these were not originally discovered or found by Brother Russell. But in fact, they trace their history back to the Miller Movement. And through the Miller Movement, some of the contacts that Brother Miller had, for notably Brother Nelson Barber, was an ardent supporter of Brother Miller and an Adventist himself. And he was intensely interested in time prophecy. And he was kind of the connecting link between Miller and Russell in this respect. And Brother Barber realized, as many Adventists did, that all things did not happen when Brother Miller thought they would. And there was quite a disappointment by many people. But Brother Barber came to the realization that the problem with Brother Miller's approach was that he had ended the 1335 days a little bit too soon. And Brother Barber made an adjustment by 30 years, and then he brought us to the Lord's return about 1873 or 1874, and then developed these parallels as a result. Now, Brother Miller had the 2,500 years of the, and 2,520 years of the Gentiles. He had that. He placed it differently. He ended everything in 1843, basically. He had a reckoning of the Jubilees that would end them in 1843. He had a reckoning of chronology that would end that in 1843. He had a reckoning of the prophetic days of Daniel that would finally end 1335 days in 1843. But he did not have the parallels. And so this has been a mystery to me. Where did the parallels come from? How were they arrived? Who produced them? And how did they come to our attention? Now, if you reflect for a moment why it was that Brother Miller did not have the parallels, you can see, if you think about what Brother Miller thought, that it was impossible for him to have the parallels. Why? Because Brother Miller believed that everything would end with one climactic point in time in 1843. And therefore, if you think when the Lord returns, everything will consummate at one moment, as the Adventists did, you don't have time for a series of episodes to unveil from the time of the Lord's return forward to show a progression of events. But once you realize that the Lord's return involves a period of time in which several things will be accomplished, including the taking of the harvest saints home, the reestablishment of Israel, the tearing down of the nations, and finally, the blessing of all the families of the earth, you realize there's a lot of markers that could be produced, and therefore there's room for these. So where did these come from? I didn't actually know the history of these really precisely until in the last year. Brother Jeff Mesra has done some research in some of the early writings of Nelson Barber, and now we find out how it was that his mind was able to see some of these connections. He first realized, remember, the Nelson Barber is coming from this perspective of realizing that Jesus did not return in 1843, but rather that his return, as he first expected, would be in 1873. Now later this was modified. And by the way, I've been using the date 1843 for Brother Miller's expectations, and some of you probably know, wait a minute, I thought it was 1844. Well, of course, there was an adjustment to this date. But Brother Miller, all of his prophetic calculations pointed to 1843, every single one of them. And when 1843 in the springtime came around, and his expectations clearly were not materialized, they began to wonder, well, now we make a mistake or just what? And Brother Miller said, no, the problem is that we have an entire year, 1843 to the spring of 1844, in which to look forward to the consummation of our hopes. And so he thought by 1844 in the spring, in that year, sometime it would come. Well, 1844 rolls around in the spring of the year, still no fulfillment. And then I believe it was a Reverend Snow that said, you notice the seventh month is so prominent in Scripture in the Day of Atonement. I'll bet it's September 22nd, or was it October 22nd, 1844. And this rapidly spread through the movement. And this became a specific date. And this is the date of the great disappointment, because it was a firm, specific date. And Brother Miller himself, finally, just a month or two, perhaps, before that date, realized maybe that's the right focus. So that's where 1844 and its counterpart 1874 come around. But this is the original. Brother Barber then realized that this was the mistake Brother Miller made. He had 1,260 years that he dated from 538. To 1798. Now that's 1 year different than we do, and I think our adjustment of 1 year is correct, but this is historically what he started with. But he thought that the 1290 years should end at the same point. So he started those in 508 BC, AD, excuse me. And the 1335 days, he started from the same point to bring you to 1843. Now put yourself in Brother Barber's position. And realizing that maybe the flaw was that they shouldn't have started differently, but they should have started at the same time. So let's bring this starting point up to there. What does that do to the 1335 days? Pushes it forward to 1873. In other words, a difference of 30 years. And so with that in mind, if you were back there and thinking about this at the time, and you realized that the Lord would come 30 years after everyone expected him to come, now in your mind, it clicks with you. You see, okay, well, you know, when Jesus was a babe, there were the shepherds and the wise men that saw him 30 years before he was really the Messiah. And that seems like a parallel. That's the foundation of the parallel concept from the beginning. However, if you think that through and you realize that Barber thought that Jesus was born in the year zero and was the Messiah in the year 30, you realize that the parallels he had was 1843, and 1873, that there are basically between here and here 1843 years. And then he reflected back from 30, and he realized that going back 1843 years would take you to the year 1813 BC. And by his chronology, he already knew that was the date that Jacob had died. And so he thought, okay, now we have parallels of 1843 years back to Jacob and 1843 years over to 1873, and that was the beginning of the double concept. So this is where it started, but soon he began to realize some of the dates were a little off. He readjusted them, and he used an 1845 year parallel, and he took it not from Jesus' messiahship, but from the time of Jesus' death, and that gives us basically these numbers. So Brother Barber had this thought out and had this arrangement determined before he met Brother Russell, and in the summer of 1876, when they met, as Brother Russell says, I invited him to show me the evidences that the Lord had chronologically returned. He presented the evidence, I was satisfied, and he accepted them. Now, you know what happened shortly thereafter. Shortly thereafter, Brother Russell suggested to Brother Barber that these thoughts be put down in print, and that result was the three worlds. Thank you. And you'll find that in Harvest Gleanings, Volume 1. And you'll notice as you go through that, that actually Harvest Gleanings, Volume 1, does not use this parallel date at all. This parallel is not in there anywhere that I can find. And there's a reason for that. And that is that in 1876, and before that, they actually thought that the church would be complete in glory by 1878. And when that did not fulfill, then they thought, okay, well, there was another parallel date in 1881, and you'll find this in the early reprints. And you'll find this on reprint page, well, you'll find it in the outline that we provided. Reprint 175, 177, 180, 224, those are all pretty small numbers, aren't they? Because those are all numbers in the reprints that were in the year or before the year 1881. And they were looking forward to the time when the saints would be complete by that date. Now you find one of those articles in which they say, no, not really the completion of the church, but just the final closing of the door. But after 1881, the church was not complete. The door was not closed. And so therefore you find the final adaptation in Volume 3 on page 212, that 1881 was really not the closing of the door, and there's quite a distinction made in that chapter between the closing of the door and the closing of the full number of the general call. And so this was adopted to be the end of the general call. So really, even though I said these parallels were fleshed out by Brother, really, not thoroughly until after 1878 when this was added to the complement. So that's what we have. Now we've looked and seen how the harvest parallels were generated, where they came from, and the basis historically for them. We want now to see how Brother Russell modified the parallels late in his life as he was examining in 1916 just what had occurred. In reprint 5950, you will find these parallels laid out again. You won't find him going back in the harvest parallels. You'll find 1874, 1878, 1881, but this one now has changed. This one has changed because he wrote that article in 1916. And of course he saw that 1915 had not consummated their hopes. And so you'll find there on the chart the date 73 and 1918. And you'll find in the text, not the chart, one brief sentence pertaining to this in which he says, incidentally, we observe that 73 was the close of the Roman Wars, and you know that as the date of the fall of Masada, the end of the Roman Wars, and that would parallel the date 1918, and he leaves it at that. That's all he says. Now, he died in 1916. He's projected to date 2 years in the future, and he never lived on this side of the veil to see that. Did it prove correct, or did it not? Well, I would say it did. Not because it meant the end of the church, but because it marked another milestone in the destruction of the old system. Because 1918, as you know, was the climax of World War I. That's when World War I terminated. And therefore, I think the fall of Masada in 73 does form a nice termination point in 1918. But does that mean that there's no parallel up here? I don't think so. And this is what takes us to the third point of our lesson, and that is to flesh out the parallels more broadly than the last notice that he left us concerning them. Because, in fact, I believe that this parallel should be modified slightly, and this should be the date 69, and this should be the date 1914. Now, what happened in the year 69? Because you know what happened in the year 1914. That was the beginning of World War I. And that's the date we often think of as a parallel date. However, in none of the parallel charts does that date appear. In some of the text, in reprint 5141, you'll find reference to this, but not as a parallel, but as the ending of the Gentile times and so forth. But as a parallel, I think it does fit very nicely to the year 69. There's only one problem. You don't find in the year 69 any war breaking out that would parallel beginning of World War I. So how does this parallel fit? Well, I think it fits because in the year 69, That was the last year the Jewish people could observe their Day of Atonement offerings in the temple, because by the next spring, the temple had been destroyed by the Romans. And therefore, this is the end of the probation for the Jewish people, of a 40 years probation from the time our Lord became the antitypical atonement offering in 29. 40 years later, their probation came to an end. That's the last opportunity they had to observe it. And by the way, since 1874, when our Lord returned, 40 years later is the end of the probation for Christendom, I believe, through the 40 years ministry of the harvest, when finally judgment began to fall in a very marked way in World War I. So I'm going to suggest at this point of parallel is a matter of probation. Now we go down to 73 to 1918. I think that that's the end of the war. And that was the end of the Roman wars back here. So that forms a nice parallel. That wasn't the end of Israel in the Holy Land, by the way. That didn't happen for many years later. Just like here, this wasn't the end of Christendom. That doesn't happen for many years later. Now, we go back up. This is the parallel of the two Advents. This is a parallel of the casting off of Israel and the receiving of Israel again. And that leaves this. In 1881, it's considered to be the call at the end of the general call. Now, on this point, you will observe that this is the only one of the parallels that we can't actually visibly see something marking. We do see a prophecy that takes us to 1874, and we see a number of interesting experiences in 1874. Now, in one of the comments late in the convention report, you'll find that Brother Russell's sister remembers 1874, and I wish she would have said exactly, but she says about. And I don't know how to deal with that in precision, but she says about 1874 is when Brother Russell saw the propriety of water immersion when he was baptized. I can't help but think that if that was a precise marker, that marks him as the choice of the seventh messenger in 1874 at our Lord's return. But that's something visible we can point to. Israel's restoration, 1878, we can point to. 1914, we can point to. 1918, we can see. This is the only one we can't visibly see, and it's produced by the 70th week. Now, I'm going to suggest that we flesh out these parallels in a broader way by taking every point here and seeing what happened 40 years later. 40 years later from 29 would be 69. And that takes care of this parallel here. 40 years, I'm going to have to do a little erasing here so I can redo this a little bit. That would be 1914. 40 years after this would be 73, and that would be 1918. So this is 40 years from here to here, 40 years from here to here. Now if we go back up, and I'm going to erase this up here just briefly. See, 36 would be 66, and this would be 1881, 1921. And now we compare these parallels and we see that in fact in 29, 40 years later came the end of their probationary period. In 33, 40 years later came the end of their period of opportunity. Now, this isn't right, I'm sorry, I added incorrectly. It should be 76. So this one seems to work. 1874 to 1914, we've got prophetic markers there, that seems to work. 1878, 1918, that seems to work. But when we come here, we have question marks. This one clearly does not work because there's nothing of significance there. This one does not work. This one may work if it's the time of Cornelius's conversion. This one may work if it's the time of the end of the general call. But what we notice in these parallels is that the only ones that we don't have a confirmation for 40 years later are the very ones for which we cannot observe anything particular that we can see. By faith, maybe we can identify an event, but we don't see an event. So this suggests maybe there's some other approach that would perhaps help us flesh these parallels out a little more precisely. In fact, when we look at the basis for the 70th week, for these parallel dates of 29, 33, and 36, I think you recognize from your study of Volume 2, they all come from Daniel the 9th chapter, in the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel, in which he said 70 weeks are appointed to bring in everlasting righteousness, to anoint the Most Holy, to make reconciliation for sins, and to accomplish such things as that in God's plan. And that this 70 weeks begins with the call to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Restore and rebuild. And this has been a subject of question for a long time. Now, Brother Miller used the date for, he used the return of Ezra, which would be in the year 458. Brother Miller actually used it 1 year different than that, but the same episode. When Ezra returned to restore and rebuild would be in the year 458, and that would take you to the year 33 AD for the consummation of the 490 years. Brother Barber changed that, and he was not alone. Many other Protestant expositors of his time did as well, and he changed it to 454 at the date of Nehemiah's return, and that would take this 70th week ending in 36 AD. And thus the two views. Now what we're going to suggest is to explore this possibility that Brother Miller started with and see what the results would be. Now let's see what that would be. What that would mean was that the parallels would begin with 26 and then would take you to 66. The parallel here would be 1871. The parallel here would be 40 years later, 1911. So there's two options here, and these are the results that would come from the first option. Now let's see if this balances out the parallels, should that option be correct. Well, let's see. Now we have the date 66, which is not a date that we usually identify with significance, but it is, in fact, a highly significant date. 66 was the beginning of the 7 years of the Roman Wars, which ended in 73. So that date does seem significant. Now we come over to 26. Well, what would be special about 26? It's exactly 40 years before the Roman Wars. And in 26, the stage was set for the Roman Wars by the appointment of Pontius Pilate as governor of Judea. He was established in his governorship in that year. Now we go over to 1911. That year is the year that historians mark as the beginning of the world crisis leading to 1914. Now when I saw the impetus of these parallels, I did not know what 1911 might be. I was quite surprised, therefore, to find that Winston Churchill, in his writing and composing of the history of World War I, actually had a four-volume historical set on this episode, and when it was recently republished in two volumes, which I did acquire and purchased, the title of his work is World Crisis, 1911 to 1918. That's the title of his history of World War I. Now, the time does not allow us to detail all the episodes of this year, but I can just tell you briefly, it was the Agadir crisis that began all of the engines of war starting to generate in 1911. So that is at least compatible with the starting of the Roman Wars in 66. But 1871, I mean, that's not a date that we have in the top of our heads. What is that? Turns out historically that just as the Roman governor was appointed in 26, so the German government was formed in 1871. The German Republic did not exist until 1871. So all of these dates do, in fact, have parallel points, and we would suggest to you that, in fact, the parallels do highlight this very, very cleanly. And this is one of the reasons that we are attracted to this point of view, and we are attracted to Miller's view that the Ezra return rather than Nehemiah's return is the beginning of the 70 weeks. But now, the next part, rather than go into a variety of technical details, our time is just passing. With this concept in mind, we want to look again at the parallels and see if we can't see a deeper pattern. You know, if you see an isolated point here or there, you say, well, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. But when you see them congeal into an overall pattern, then you say, I think maybe we're getting in to discern the mind of the master who designed this, the Heavenly Father, and getting a glimpse of what how he designed this. Now, maybe we won't have to erase this part. We'll just add to this over here another column. What we're going to suggest is that the basic kernel of these parallels is based upon another grander pattern that comes from the prophecies of Daniel. Now, in the prophecies of Daniel, you have almost all of the prophecies that we customarily deal with in the Bible student movement. You have the 2,500 years of the times of the Gentiles. You have the 1,335 days of the prophecies of Daniel, the 12th chapter. You have the end of the 2,300 days of Daniel, the 8th chapter. You have the 1,290 days of Daniel, the 12th chapter. You have the 1,260 days of Daniel, the 7th chapter and the 12th chapter. And then you have the 490 days of Daniel, the 9th chapter. Now, those are the prophecies in the book of Daniel itself. Now, this points to 1914. And as we have seen, there is a parallel date to that. And that parallel date is 69 AD. So there's the parallel. This ending date is 1874. And as we have seen, 1874 has a parallel date of 29. So there's a parallel to that ending prophecy. If we go to the 2300 days and we use this approach, that changes the 2300 days from 1846 to end in 1843, the first disappointment of the Miller movement. And that would have an ending, a parallel date of 3 BC. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The 1290 days, ending in 1829, would have a parallel date of, I believe this is 17 BC. 1260 days, ending in 1799, would have a parallel date ending in 47 BC. And 490 would have end in 33, and the parallel would be 1813 BC. Now, what we're suggesting is that every one of the prophecies of Daniel, and there are six, and I may make a case for a seventh later, but we'll just hold it to this now. There are six of those dates that are very clearly marked in Daniel, prophecies. Each one of those has a fulfillment in these years, we suggest to you, and each of those has a parallel date listed here. But there's some of these dates that you say, well, I recognize some of those dates, 69, 29, 1813 BC. I don't recognize these three dates. What are those three dates all about? Well, let me explain how we got into this. And if I can take maybe five more minutes here and less 5 minutes on the other end, perhaps we can finish this and then be complete. We noticed recently that in 1829, parallel date of 17 BC, we noticed that the scriptures actually point to that year in a way that I had never observed until maybe a month or two ago. And you will find that in John, the second chapter. You may remember the occasion where John outlines the first Passover of Jesus' life. Is it okay to take five and... Okay, thanks. And that first Passover of Jesus' life would be, of course, the year 30 AD. And on that first Passover, Jesus said, "Destroy this body and I will raise it again after 3 days." And destroy this temple, rather, and I'll raise it again. And you know, the Jews said, wait a minute. This temple has been 46 years in building. How could you raise it? You go back 46 years from 30 BC, 30 AD, and you'll find the year 17 was when that temple began to be rebuilt by Herod. And therefore, this 1829 date, a few years before the sanctuary was cleansed, was kind of the beginning of the refurbishing, you could say, of the sanctuary. And that's the date at which the sanctuary began to be refurbished literally as a parallel date. Now you go back here to 1260, 1799, 47 BC. We never heard of anything in 47 BC. I didn't, until I looked. And then what I found was, well, what do we have in 1799? What marked that date so clearly in the prophecies of Daniel? You look in Daniel, the 11th chapter, and it says in the last few verses of the chapter, it says that, I'm going to interpret as I go here, it says Napoleon will be in Egypt in 1799, and then he's going to leave there and go up through the Holy Land. He's going to plant his palatial tents between the two seas by the Holy Mountain. And that, in 1799, is what Napoleon did. He was in Egypt then, he went up through Palestine, and then shortly thereafter he left to go back to France and claim the throne, which he claimed the country, which he did. You go back 1845 years earlier to 47 BC, and guess what you find? Whereas Napoleon puts the end to the papal authority of the papal Roman system, what was just developing there was the initiation of the Roman system as an empire. And who was the first emperor of Rome? It had to be Julius Caesar And you remember he died on the Ides of March because he was changing from a republic into an empire. Well, where was he in 47 BC? He was in Egypt, and after Egypt he left and went up through Palestine between the two seas by the Holy Mountain and then left for Rome and claimed the empire. An exact parallel to what Napoleon does 1845 years later. So all of these dates fit. But this one, we haven't observed this one. What happened in 1843? If we're right that Miller was right about this, then in 1843 would be the end of the 2300 days when the sanctuary is cleansed of its defiling errors, waiting for the truths to be set up in order after the Lord's return. If we go back to the cleansing of the temple, we find in 3 BC was the year that an angel appeared where? In the temple to Zechariah to announce that now is the time for the fulfillment of the promises of God to restore to give substance to the hope of the Abrahamic covenant. And so every one of these, that was when Zechariah got his vision in the temple that led to the birth of John, to the birth of Jesus, and onward and upward to the second advent, to the first advent. Every one of these dates of Daniel, prophecies of Daniel, every one of these dates has a prophetic time marker 1845 years earlier. Now, I know we've covered in this brief time a lot of technical details. To really follow this, I have to admit and acknowledge, you really have to have a good foundation in the understanding of Volume 2 and Volume 3 to grasp this concept. But let me just briefly, in the next 2 minutes, summarize what we have done and bring this to a closure. What we've tried to do is explain why the parallels could not be understood until the Lord's return. Because until the Lord's return, it wasn't grasped that His return would be a period of time punctuated by many activities. That's why Miller could never see it. Number two, we've tried to explain how the understanding of these parallels came up. It came up from observing the difference between Miller's expectations and the Second Advent, 30 years, realizing that the 30 years paralleled our Lord's 30 years before He presented Himself as the Messiah. And from that foundation, the 30 years, the span between the two Advents turns out to be 1845 years. And when you do that, you wonder, well now, why, if it's between the two Advents, would that parallel pertain to any of the other prophecies? And it does. Every single one of the prophecies of Daniel has a parallel fulfillment 1845 years earlier. And now when you look over at the 70th week, you find that every single episode of the 70th week, the beginning, the middle, and the end, every one has a parallel 40 years later, 1845 years later, and that again 40 years later. I think the parallels do work very, very nicely. I think it does show that we have entered the period of the parousia of our Lord, and now we're towards the climax and the consummation of that. And I think we can see the stately steppings of God showing in all of the prophecies of Daniel that we have a firm foundation for marking the climax of those prophecies in our day, and that our understanding of the Lord's parousia is indeed well-founded by chronology, by the prophecies of Daniel, and by the parallels that we think harmonize them very, very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother David. And we have a half an hour break. And during that time, try to remember to write some questions down. And if you have questions, write them down as soon as you can, because we'll give them to Brother David during the break. And that we'll have a chance to at least prioritize them, if not to think about how to respond. And then we'll ask Brother David to close with prayer.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the testimony of old from holy men moved by Thy Spirit to put in the Scriptures things for our edification, our understanding, our enlightenment at this end of the age, to show us the time of our Lord's advent, and that His stately steppings are proceeding through this world to establish His kingdom. We do thank Thee for the privileges of living at this end of the age, where our eyes can see those things the prophets could not see, and that even angels desired to look into. We thank Thee for the majesty and the glory of Thy mind and Thy Spirit that has put these things there for us to see at the appropriate time. Do pray forgiveness for anything said amiss. We pray that our hearts might rejoice with every gleam of recognizing the period of time in which we're living and the prospects before the world so large and grand for them. We thank Thee and praise Thee in Jesus' name.